We find ourselves in the middle of a four-part series, which I've titled, Learning How to Study the Bible. And by way of review, we began by first considering the importance of using the right scope. During that first study, we examined the synthetic scope, which is used to study the Bible with a broad perspective. Then we also studied the analytical scope, and with that scope, we use that to analyze the details that we find in the scriptures. And then finally, we consider the devotional scope. And with the devotional scope, we study God's word on a personal level. Well, then after learning about the importance of using the right scope, we discovered the value of using the four keys of observation. We learned about the key of prayer, which is used when we seek God's help to understand his holy word. We ought to pray before we study the Bible so that we can receive spiritual help from the Holy Spirit to understand this spirit-inspired book that we have. Then after the key of prayer, we learned about the key of context. And in the key of context, we use this key when we examine the text that surrounds the verse that we're studying. Thirdly, we took some time to contemplate the key of repetition. And we use the key of repetition when we look for the author's main point, which is revealed through reoccurring words and phrases. When we see those repetitive words or repetitive phrases, we know that the author is trying to draw our attention to a main point. And finally, we learned about the key of inquiry, which is to say that we learn how to study the Bible while asking those important questions: who, what, when, where, why, and how. Anytime we're reading a text, we ought to be asking, who said this, and what was the intention, and when was this said, and where were they at when this happened, or why did the author write this, or how in the world can we understand this book if we don't spend any time studying it? These are all important questions to ask. Well, while it's important to study the Bible with the right scope and with these four keys of observation, a proper study of the Bible is also based on using the right rules of interpretation. And with this as our goal, we're going to spend our time tonight examining the importance of interpretation. And so with that as our goal, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, as you make your way to 2 Peter 1, I want to take a moment to point out that Webster actually defines interpretation as explaining or telling the meaning of something and presenting it in understandable terms. And here in this study, I want to give you five basic rules of interpretation which will help you to understand the scriptures. The first rule that we'll consider tonight is the rule of congruity. Secondly, we'll consider the rule of simplicity. Thirdly, we'll look at the rule of continuity. Fourthly, we'll look at the rule of priority. And then fifthly and finally, we'll look at the rule of clarity. Well, I'm certain that if you learn how to apply these five rules to your Bible study time, that you're not only going to enjoy your time as you study God's word, but you're going to learn it more than you ever have. And so, with that being the case, let's begin by considering this first rule, which is the rule of congruity. It'll help you to know that congruity refers to a point of agreement, and it speaks of a harmony between an explanation and the thing that's being explained. And when it comes to our study of the Bible, it's crucial for every Christian to understand that our interpretation of the scriptures must be in agreement and harmonious with the author's original intent. In other words, our interpretation must be congruous with the interpretation that was actually intended by the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what Peter's talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you would look with me, we'll begin reading at verse 19. Here Peter tells us that we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when it comes to the Bible, there's only one proper interpretation. And don't get that confused, because I don't mean to suggest that there's only one application. No, there's many applications for every scripture in the Bible. We can take scriptures in the Bible and apply them to our lives in all sorts of different ways. And you know, there's times when we look at a verse and it applies to our life in one way, and then 5 years down the road, we see that verse again, and it applies to our life in a completely different way because we're in a different place. So many applications, but one interpretation. There's one way to interpret the text, and it's this interpretation that we should be seeking to understand and agree with. This is the rule of congruity. We want our understanding and our interpretation of the text to be harmonious with what the Holy Spirit actually intended when he inspired the author to write this or that. Well, the second rule that we should consider is the rule of simplicity. But this is our focus. I'd like you now to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And as you make your way to 2 Corinthians 11, it'll help you to know that the rule of simplicity suggests that the simplest interpretation is probably the correct one. The simplest interpretation is probably the correct one. We want to look for the simplest interpretation, the simplest explanation of what the author meant. And not only that, but the rule of simplicity also demands that we allow the simple statements in Scripture to clarify and explain the more difficult passages. In other words, we should never attempt to interpret the difficult doctrines found in the Bible without first having a basic understanding of the simple, straightforward verses. And a lot of people get this twisted. They want to go find the tough verses. They want to go and spend all their time attempting to understand the hardest scriptures in the Bible, and yet they haven't even spent the time to understand the simple things of the Bible. We would do well to reverse that. Put the simple things first and get an understanding of what the simple doctrines are. In order to explain what I'm saying, let's consider the way that Paul encouraged the Christians there in Corinth to first embrace the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. If you would look with me there at 2 Corinthians 11. We'll begin reading at verse 3. Here Paul declares, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Here in these verses we find Paul, he's saying, hey, remember the way that Eve back in the garden was deceived from the very simple instructions that they received from God. God simply said, hey, reproduce, fill the earth, you know, take care of the garden, and don't eat this fruit. Very simple instructions. And yet somehow the serpent was able to come along and deceive Eve because she didn't stand firm on the simple things that the Lord Jesus instructed them there in the garden. Listen, the same thing can happen to us, and Paul was very concerned about it. He was concerned about it with the Corinthians. He would be equally concerned about it with us today, that we might forget about the simple things of the word and get confused when the enemy comes along and tries to trip us up with all kinds of difficult doctrines. Listen, there are a few simple truths concerning Christ Jesus. There are a few simple truths concerning the gospel message. And so before you run off and attempt to understand the difficult doctrines of the Bible, let's make sure that we fully understand the simple truths of the scriptures. This reminds me of when I was a new believer, and I had a friend of mine. It was actually the guy who had led me to the Lord, and he was kind of getting caught up with all these ideas about God predetermining some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell and all these sorts of things. And I'm just kind of like, you know, there's a simple truth about God's love that really doesn't line up with what you're telling me here. And I didn't get duped and I didn't get sucked into this weird doctrine simply because I stood on the simple truth of God's infinite love. We can also apply this in a mathematical sort of way. You see, when you first begin learning math, you begin by learning the numerical values and their symbols. You got to know the numerical values. You got to know the symbols of those values. And then you're taught to take those symbols with those values and you begin to add them and subtract them, right? Well, then after you grasp adding and subtracting, then you begin to move on to multiplication and division, right? And sky's the limit of what you can learn in mathematics. Though you're learning new ways to manipulate those original numbers, listen, the simple basics of math remain the same. those symbols that hold those certain numerical values, that's always going to be true. And no matter if you move on to algebra and you start trying to, you know, do math with letters, which is, I don't get it myself, but, you know, some people get it. And you know what? The numbers still line up the same. You know, the number 8 is the number 8. The number 9 is the number 9. It still continues to hold true, those simple basic math truths. It's in a similar way that there are simple truths in the Bible that we must first understand before we can move on to grasp the deeper, more difficult doctrines. Paul referred to these simple truths as the milk of the word. We want to grow as babes in Christ on the milk of the word, the simple things of God's word, and never let go of those simple truths. Then when someone comes along and they want to trip you up with some sort of difficult doctrine, some deep meaning, you know, something that's deep that you don't quite understand, fall back on those simple truths. Fall back on those simple truths of God's word, and you won't get deceived by the deeper things. After you grasp the milk of God's word, then you can move on and start chewing on the meat and begin to understand those deeper truths, all the while realizing that we must continue to keep in mind the basics of the word as we set out to interpret the scriptures. Well, thirdly, we must use the rule of continuity. And with this as our focus, if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you make your way to 2 Timothy 3, it'll help you to know that continuity refers to a continuous or uninterrupted consistency. Therefore, the rule of continuity, it refers to the importance of interpreting the Bible in the light of the continuous and consistent revelation which is found throughout the entire Bible, which includes all 66 books of the Old and the New Testament. The rule of continuity, it tells us that every verse must be interpreted within the context in which it's found, which begins with the paragraph that it's found in, and then the chapter that it's found in, and then within the book that it's found in, and then within the greater canon of Scripture. We must understand that verse in light of the full text of the Bible. In this way, the rule of continuity helps us to avoid contradictory interpretations. You see, people want to come along and they want to say, well, look at this verse and look at that verse, and these two verses don't line up. They contradict one another. You know, I used to walk around the University of Texas with a tract that said, I'll give you $100 if you can show me one real contradiction in the Bible. And you know, for years I gave out that tract and not once did I ever give anyone $100. Oh, people showed me what they thought were contradictions, and I would agree that, yeah, that's a paradox, but let me show you how to understand it within the fullness of Scriptures. You see, a lot of people want to just find things that appear to be contradictions, but they don't grasp the greater context of what's being said there. So what they think is a contradiction, I can show them, is not a contradiction at all, but simply something that's difficult to understand, but certainly no contradiction. The rule of continuity helps us to expose those things. When someone comes along and says, oh, there's a contradiction in the Scriptures, just back out, look at the greater context, and you'll discover, no, there's a continuous understanding of how these verses work together in the fullness of the canon that we call the Bible. The rule of continuity, it helps us to understand how to interpret the text within its context. And it helps us to avoid contradictory interpretations as we set out to understand every verse according to the greater context of the entire Bible. Simply put, the interpreter must see the value of every verse in the entire Bible in order to grasp the individual meanings of each verse. In order to prove my point, if you would look with me there at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to begin reading at verse 14, where Paul instructed Pastor Timothy to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's reminding Timothy the fact that all Scripture, all of it, the entire Bible is important. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation, and all of the Scriptures have been given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine. You know, there are some churches in our day and age who just leave out the Old Testament entirely. There are churches that they just teach the New Testament. I certainly see the value of teaching the New Testament. But listen, all Scripture is important. All Scripture, the Old and the New Testament. All Scripture is profitable for defining good doctrine. That being the case, it's crucial for every Christian to interpret the Scriptures in light of the entire Bible. In this way, we're using the rule of continuity to drive our interpretation of every verse. When I'm looking at a verse in the New Testament, I want to know, what do we find in the Old Testament about this verse? And if I'm looking at something in the Old Testament, I want to know, how is this later explained in the New Testament? There should be a continuity with every verse. And this helps us in our interpretation. What this also means is that the interpreter who discovers a doctrinal contradiction, well, they must realize that they're actually facing an interpretive error, not an internal error. There's an error in your interpretation, not in what the Scriptures say. So when it comes to interpreting the Bible, we must use the rule of congruity by seeking to be in agreement with the Spirit's interpretation. We must use the rule of simplicity by allowing the simple things to help us to understand what's difficult. And we must use the rule of continuity by learning to reject any doctrines that contradict the simple, straightforward understanding of each verse. Fourthly, we must also use the rule of priority. Now, in order to explain what I mean by this, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we find an example of this fourth rule of priority. And as you make your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to take a moment to point out that the word priority, it refers to an established right to precedence. Priority is an established right to precedence. Or in other words, priority speaks of the right to go first. And while it's true that the book of Genesis is the first book in the Bible by way of numerical order, I wouldn't say that it is the most important book in the entire Bible. Same with the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is first by way of order. But I wouldn't suggest that the Old Testament is more important than the New Testament. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because really, I just told you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We need the entire Bible, Old and New Testament. Each book is important. Each has its purpose. Each has its value. At the same time, though, I would remind you that we live in the New Testament age. We live in the church age. We live in the age of grace. And listen, the New Testament was designed to illuminate and illustrate the true meaning of the Old Testament for those of us living in the church age. When I read the Old Testament, I read it through the lens of the New Testament. Because I understand that there's a lot of things that were written for the Jews during the age of law, you know, that don't apply to me anymore. And so it's important to understand the Old Testament in light of what has priority in the church age, which is the New Testament Scriptures. Furthermore, we must understand that within the New Testament, some books have priority over others. We must understand that the epistles in the New Testament take precedence over the narratives in the New Testament. And the reason why is because the epistles are the doctrinal books, whereas the narratives just present us with the histories. And while there is doctrine in those historical books, it's the didactic books, it's the epistles that present us with a clear understanding of what New Testament church age theology should be. Therefore, we should give priority to the doctrines found in the book of Romans so that we can properly interpret the events that Luke recorded in the book of Acts. We should spend time studying the doctrines found in the book of Ephesians in order to properly interpret the parables that Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew. And we should understand the theological truths which are revealed in 1 and 2 Thessalonians so that we can properly interpret the prophecies found in the book of Revelation. These epistles have priority over the other books because they present us with the clear principles for defining church age doctrine. In order to further prove my point, let's consider something that Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 10. Here Paul writes, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now that's a very interesting statement right there. Paul's saying, hey, God has given me this grace. He's called me to be this wise master builder, speaking of the church. And he says, I have laid the foundation. Now, the word foundation there refers to the first principles of the Christian faith. He's saying, I have laid the first principles for the church. That Greek word that's translated foundation, which speaks of first principles, it refers to the system of truth that defines the institution which we call the church. And throughout his epistles, Paul clearly presented all of the foundational truths necessary for understanding what a church should look like and how a church should function. To further show you what I'm talking about, if you would turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 6. You see, it's in Hebrews 6 where we find Paul. He's encouraging the Hebrew believers to grasp the foundational principles of the Christian faith before moving on to those secondary and even tertiary doctrines. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at Hebrews chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Here Paul declares, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again. And here's those elementary principles: the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Here in these verses we find Paul, he's revealing the rule of priority by pointing us to the foundational doctrines, the elementary principles, which help us to understand the foundation of Christian doctrine. And all of this is defined within his epistles. These foundational doctrines which take priority in the life of the Christian, they include, according to Paul here, repentance and faith, baptisms and spiritual gifts, resurrection from the dead and judgment. These are the elementary principles that every Christian should understand. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we have to understand the foundational principles of the church age. And in this way, we can go into the rest of the Bible and understand everything else and how it should apply to us through the lens of the first principles which are presented to us in the epistles that we find in the New Testament. Well, once we understand these first principles, then we can properly interpret the parables and the prophecies, the analogies and the allegories and all the rest of the Bible. But we must understand those first principles, because the first principles, the elementary principles, the foundational principles of the church age should take priority in our lives so that we understand what the church should look like and how it should operate. Well, from this we see then that the student of the Bible who wants to properly interpret the Bible must use the rule of congruity, which helps us to seek the Spirit's interpretation of the Scriptures. We need the rule of simplicity, which leads us to understand that we need to understand the simple things of the Scriptures before trying to chew on the meat of God's Word. We need the rule of continuity, which helps us to avoid contradictions by allowing the Bible to interpret the Bible. And we need the rule of priority, which helps us to give priority to the first principles and the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. Fifthly and finally, it's important for interpreters to use the rule of clarity. Now, clarity refers to the quality of being clearly expressed. Clarity speaks of something that's free from obscurity. It's easy to understand. Clarity speaks of comprehensibility, speaks of clear expression. And when it comes to the issue of clarity, listen, Bible interpreters must comprehend the exponential complications of perplexing terminologies amidst disconcertingly difficult doctrines. Did you blank out on me there? That statement wasn't very clear, now was it? I could have done what Barnhouse says, get the hay out of the loft and onto the floor where the cows can get at it. You know, when people want to come along and use all these, you know, $12 words that they learned in seminary, you know, it doesn't convey clarity to the audience. We want to use words that are clear and easy to understand. And so what I said is this: It's always more difficult to understand doctrine when we fail to spend time defining the words that we don't comprehend. Therefore, it's important for us to define some words. And you'll notice that when I teach the Bible, I spend a lot of time defining certain words, the key words that I think are going to help us to understand the text. And the reason why is because as you're reading through the Bible, you can do one of two things. You can just glaze over the words that you don't understand and then wonder why at the end of your reading time you didn't understand what you just read. Or you can stop and define the words that you don't quite understand and gain greater clarity as you read. We have to admit that reading the Bible can kind of be like talking to a person from the IT department. You know who I'm talking about. You know, there's those IT guys, and they speak a language that nobody understands. I don't think they even understand. I think they make up stuff as they go along, personally. But those IT guys, they have their own language, you know, and sometimes you're just asking them to come into your office, fix your email, because it's no worky. And they're like, well, here's what I'm going to do, you know, and then they begin talking, and you just, what, tune out, you know. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Just do it. I don't need to know. I'm not here to learn IT. I just want to get my email, right? Or maybe you're a person who knows nothing about cars and you take it in and you're like, yeah, it's going hamina, 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 blinka, blinka, blinking. And then you try to explain what, you know, the problem is with your car. And they say, oh, I think it's the, you know, catalytic converter. And we're going to pull this, you know, and you're just like, you know, I don't need to know about it. I didn't come here to learn how to fix cars. I brought my car to you to fix. I'm going to be in the waiting room where there's air conditioning, right? But mechanics, they want to explain it, you know, here's what we're doing here. And it's just like, you know, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. Sometimes we read the Bible like that, though, don't we? When we get to some passages that we don't understand, it's just kind of like, yeah, I don't need to know anything about this, you know. Propitiation, that's probably not for me. That's above my pay grade. All right, justification, sanctification, you know. Let me go back to Jesus loves me, this I know. And so we glaze over things and we don't seek clarity through definition. And so we miss out on a lot of information and we do a poor job interpreting the Bible because of it, right? Christian, listen, we must learn to use the rule of clarity and for good reason. One reason why is found in Psalm 119, 160, where the psalmist says, "The entirety of your word is truth." That includes the big words that we don't understand. The entirety of your word is truth. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, Solomon says, every word of God is pure. Not just some of the words, not just the ones that we understand, but every word in the Bible is pure. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus declared, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word in the Bible is important. God seems to think that we need to grasp every word that has proceeded from his mouth and into the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, the interpreter who wants to understand God's word, well, we must spend time defining the words that God used in order to communicate his truth. Words like propitiation and sanctification and glorification, these are important words for us to grasp. If you come across a phrase like lewd fellows of the baser sort, well, then you're in the King James Version. You just need to get an easier version to read. Get a Bible that you can read, and when you come across verses or words that you don't quite understand, take some time to define the words. Seek the clarity that comes when you define the words. And in order to do this, we only need to gain a few study helps, like a Strong's Concordance. A Strong's Concordance can help you to look up every word in the Bible and define what it means from the original language. Or you know, if you get online, as you probably do, then you can just go to a website like blueletterbible.com. That's where I look up all my words, blueletterbible.com. Just simple double click and boom, there it is. You know, you can look at the definition of the Greek word or the Hebrew word or the Aramaic word, depending on what book you're in. And you can look at the definitions and you can get the clarity that comes from defining words along the way. And then once you define some words and get the clarity that comes from definition, well, then you have an easier time interpreting the author's original intent. If you really want to learn how to study the Bible, then we must begin to use these five rules of interpretation. We must use the rule of congruity by seeking to be in agreement with the Spirit's interpretation and intention. We must apply the rule of simplicity by allowing the simple things of God's word to help us to understand what's difficult. We must utilize the rule of continuity by learning to reject any ideas that contradict the simple and straightforward teaching of Scripture. We must apply the rule of priority by seeking to understand the Bible through the foundational principles which are found in the epistles. And we must use the rule of clarity by taking the time to define difficult words so that our understanding can be open to what is there in the text. Listen, if we'll use these five rules of interpretation, then we'll begin to gain a greater understanding of God's word, which in turn will help us to discover the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, which have been revealed to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.